Today's Food for the Journey will be a classic reflection of today's readings.
Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. I love this feast. Today is the Feast of the Transfiguration, when Christ revealed himself to a few of his disciples. What a marvelous, marvelous feast this is, that Christ manifested his glory to give them strength, because God knew what they were facing, but he made them promise to say nothing to anyone until the Son of Man was risen from the dead. So we have this incredible feast where God is revealed in Christ in glory and majesty and power. Let's read about it today. We're going to be reading in a few minutes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, verses 2 to 10. But let me not get ahead of myself, so let's go back to the first reading for today, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 7, verses 9 and 10, and then 13 and 14. Thrones were set up as I watched, and the Ancient One took his throne. His clothing was bright as snow, and the hair on his head as white as wool. His throne was flames of fire with wheels of burning fire. A surging stream of fire flowed out from where he sat. Thousands upon thousands were ministering to him, and myriads upon myriads attended him. The court was convened, and the books were opened. As the visions during the night continued, I saw one like a son of man coming on the clouds of heaven. And when he reached the Ancient One and was presented before him, the one, like a son of man, received dominion, glory, and kingship. All peoples, nations, and languages serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that shall not be taken away. His kingship shall not be destroyed. Here we have a revelation of the power and the splendor and the majesty of Christ in the book of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament. We have here a sign of what was to come. The responsorial psalm today says, "The Lord is King, the Most High over all the earth." God reveals himself, and he will reveal himself. He will reveal himself most powerfully in the Word which was made flesh, Jesus. And how often it is that we don't understand or don't ponder this incredible mystery. Yet I can talk to people who laugh at the idea. What crazy thing you believe. And it does. If you have no faith, it does seem crazy. But we know from the living Word of God that the Son of God became man for our sake. And there are several times to certain people he reveals himself in his glory. Take some time today to reread that passage from the book of Deuteronomy. One like a son of man coming on the clouds of heaven. And when he reached the Ancient One and was presented before him, the one like a son of man received dominion, glory, and kingship. This is the Father giving his Son dominion, glory, kingship. All peoples, nations, and languages serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion. The kingdom of God never ends. In whose kingdom do you dwell? Are you trying to straddle? Are you trying to put one foot in one kingdom, the kingdom of this earth, and one foot in the kingdom of heaven? As I've said so often, you straddle like that, you will not succeed. Christ is asking for everything. He's asking that we put all our trust in him, because he has dominion, glory, and kingship from his Father. He is the one we should be trusting. Not the world, not the promises of the world, but him. His kingship shall not be destroyed. the responsorial psalm today, Psalm 97, verses 1 and 2, 5 and 6, and 9. The Lord is King, let the earth rejoice, let the many islands be glad. Clouds and darkness are round about him. Justice and judgment are the foundation of his throne. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord of all the earth. The heavens proclaim his justice. All people see his glory, because you, O Lord, are the Most High over all the earth. The Lord is King. You are exalted far above all gods. Pray that prayer today. Pray that psalm today. Pray it over and over again today. And ask the Lord, increase my faith. Increase my faith in you. Increase my faith in your word. Increase my faith in my Father who is in heaven. Activate the graces of my baptism and confirmation. Activate those graces. Let me see my sin clearly and repent of it. Don't hesitate. Repent. God always forgives when we genuinely repent. Always. I know in talking to some of you, you committed a sin in your life at some point, which was a grievous sin against God. And you think, how can I ever be forgiven? But God promises us, if we come to him in repentance, if we ask forgiveness, it will be given. His mercy endures forever. For me, that's the grandest part of his kingdom. It probably isn't, but just in my mind today, I think that we can be forgiven, that we don't have to carry the baggage. We don't have to carry the garbage. All we need to do is be honest and repent. The sacrament of reconciliation wipes the slate clean. That's the extent of the mercy of God. Frankly, I think of his mercy as his greatest attribute. That's not said from any theological point of view. I am just so struck by the mercy of God toward us, if we're willing to take advantage of it. The second reading on this feast is taken from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 to 19. Beloved, we did not follow cleverly devised myths. We did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we had been eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father. And when that unique declaration came to him from the majestic glory, "This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." That's the voice of the Father honoring his Son. "This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice come from heaven while we were with him on the holy mountain, the Feast of the Transfiguration. Who did he take up with him on the mountain? Peter, James, and John. And the infinite glory of God was revealed to them. That's what we celebrate this day. He was giving them a help because he knew what they were about to endure. And he gave them help to strengthen their faith. We ourselves heard this voice come from heaven while we were with him on the holy mountain. Moreover, we possess the prophetic message that is altogether reliable. You will do well to be attentive to it as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Look at the scripture, look at the truth of the word. Let it be a lamp for you, a light to give you hope, a light shining in the darkness of our sin, of our fear, of our lack of faith. Ask God to shine his light. And you know when you see a lamp that you turn on and there's light and you're in a dark place, it's such a welcome, such a blessing to you. Well, this is infinitely more. And the Gospel of Mark chapter 9, verses 2 to 10, here we have the actual account of the transfiguration. Jesus took Peter, James, and his brother John, and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. He manifested his glory. His clothes became dazzling white, such as no fuller on earth could bleach them. And then Elijah, one of the Old Testament prophets, appeared to them along with Moses, and they were conversing with Jesus. Can you imagine what these disciples thought? They're witnessing this. And then Peter said to Jesus in reply, "Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let's make three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He hardly knew what to say. They were so terrified. He just, let's just stay here. Let's put up tents. He can't find the words to express the awe and the wonder. At the same time, the fear. He knows he's seeing something that's not earthly. He hardly knew what to say. They were so terrified. And then a cloud came, casting a shadow over them. And from the cloud came a voice. "This is my beloved son. Listen to him." If you take nothing else from the readings for this day and the great feast of the Transfiguration, take this verse. "This is my beloved son. Listen to him." How many voices do we listen to? How many voices compete for our attention? One voice should stand out above all the other, and we should be constantly attentive to that voice. We can be. We can learn to be. As they were coming down from the mountain, he charged them not to relate what they had seen to anyone. He was giving them a privilege because he knew what they were about to endure. The imprisonment, the incredible, horrible torture, their own denial, especially Peter's. God knew what lay before them, and he's trying to give them hope. He's trying to give them a glimpse of what awaits them if they persevere, even through their own denial. The repentance for that still led them to the glory. As they were coming down from the mountain, he charged them not to relate what they had seen to anyone, except when the Son of Man had risen from the dead. They might not have even grasped fully what that meant. "Don't say anything about this until the Son of Man is risen from the dead." So they kept the matter to themselves, questioning what rising from the dead meant. You see, we have the incredible advantage of seeing the whole picture with hindsight. I mean, looking back, we see what happened. But for them, they were living it. They were actually living it moment by moment. Their faith was being tested moment by moment. It was hard. But they kept the matter to themselves, questioning what rising from the dead meant. They didn't understand the resurrection. Open your hearts, brothers and sisters. Listen carefully to the word of the Lord. God bless you. Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Sister Ann Shields, and I want to encourage you, if you would like a free copy of my booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, which we need right now, you can receive that by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789, or you can simply go to renewalministries.net/FFJ. May God bless you.